News Nation conducted a poll about the president's performance and the issues that concern Americans. Here to talk about it a little bit is Leland Vittard. Hi, Leland. How are you?
Hey, good talking to you.
Long time. When did you and I visit last?
I don't know, but I've been waiting for my phone to ring, and I've just it hasn't come up yet.
Well, you've got a dog now, Leland, so I think your social calendar is really
this is true. Dutch is in town.
I hear you and Lisa talk about that, and it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun. Let's talk about the president's performance. What were the general results from this News Nation survey?
So we do our surveys in conjunction with a fellow by the name of Scott Tranter at Decision Desk HQ, one of the premier polling firms in the country. They do a lot of private work for, various hedge funds and other businesses and big time corporations, and then also work with News Nation. And I said to him, I said, out of all of this, is there any good news for President Biden? He's not a partisan guy. And he said, none. And there really does not seem to be anything out of it. 80% of America is really concerned about inflation, which tells you you can't get 80% of Americans to agree that ice cream is nice or Dutch, my black lab is cute, and they agree that inflation is a real problem. They think that is the worst problem facing America, which is one that is, I think, really significant. Another thing that President Biden's got to deal with tonight in this speech is, do you agree or disagree with the following statement? Joe Biden is mentally fit. And 53% of Americans disagree. They don't believe Joe Biden is mentally fit. Only 45% do. So the president's got a lot of problems going into tonight. And the big question, if you're the White House, is how do you get a win?
Yeah, I think that's been a real conundrum for the president, because with the exception of inflation, so much of the economic news, which is so important to people, that's where you live, the economic page, so much of that news is good. The economy is doing well. The markets are actually in pretty good shape. The wages are high. The jobs numbers are good. Spending last month was much better than they expected. But people don't give him, maybe he doesn't deserve credit for any of that, but he's not borrowing any credit for that either. His economic numbers are bad. And I don't imagine there's anything to change that.
Yeah. Economics is how people feel, right? You can look at we as Americans are smart. We make our own decisions. You look across the board at your 401k and how much it costs to fill up at the gas pump, and how far your paycheck goes, and whether at the end of 2 weeks you're scrimping or not. Do I feel good? And that's really what the economy becomes a proxy for, and inflation becomes a proxy for. In the same way, in the Virginia election this past year that you and I talked about, schools became the number one issue. It wasn't really schools. They became proxies for other things. But the president's presented with a unique opportunity here, which is, number one, that he has the opportunity to flip the narrative on inflation from saying that it doesn't exist and that it's transitory and not to worry about it to, I feel your pain and I'm here to help. So watch for some proposals on that, number one. Number two, Americans care effectively about two things at the bottom line, right? Peace and prosperity, security and prosperity. Prosperity we've dealt with, now it's on to security. If President Biden is able to navigate this Ukraine crisis, and he, to his credit, his intelligence services have been spot on in terms of what Vladimir Putin was going to do, and they've called it. And he has brought the world together with the help of Vladimir Putin in a way that it has not been brought together since H.W. Bush and Desert Storm. If he is able to oversee this resurgence of the world rallying around an American leader who is going to stand up to Vladimir Putin, one of the worst despots we have, and outsmart him and outflank him and out-toughman him, which is all the things that Vladimir Putin thinks he is. If Joe Biden's able to do that, and he's able to set up that paradigm tonight in his speech and follows through, that's an enormous win.
I wonder how much of the scoring will not be on the policies or the words written, but how well he conveys them. I don't think he's a good speech giver. I'm frequently critical of his press conferences such as they are and his speeches generally, not because of the words, but I just don't think he commands very well. He seems sincere. He's good old Joe, but I don't think that's his forte. And they don't put him out there, I don't think, for that reason a lot. I don't know if that's a fair way to score the man, but I think that inevitably happens. And I'll be very interested to see how he performs this evening.
That's a great point, and I'll give you a little bit of color that we're hearing. And we talked about this last night on the show. We'll talk about it again tonight. Watch for the length of the speech. The Russians like to say, and I think it's a quote from Stalin, that quantity has a quality all of its own. And you remember that press conference back in early January where he went an hour and 45 minutes or an hour and 48 minutes and kept saying to the press, "You want me to keep going?" One of the big knocks is the poll found is people aren't sure if he's all there mentally and if he has the stamina and the acumen to be president. And as it stands now, the speech reads at 1 hour. So you add in all the applauses and the dramatic pauses and pointing to people in the speaker's gallery, and you're now at a buck 20 or a buck 30. That by design is to show he's there, he's ready, he has the stamina, at 9 o'clock at night.
Two other things that your poll, this is Leland Visit. We're talking about a News Nation poll of Americans with a plus or minus margin of error of 2.9%. And when asked, do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling his job as president, 57% disapproved and 42% of that 57 said they strongly disapprove. I wonder how many of these numbers correlate almost exactly with party politics. That's because there's that many Republican-leaning people right now. It's not 57%, but you take my point. 43% said that they approve of his performance, but only 18% strongly approve. So he's very much on the downside there. And then if I may, Leland.
He's the most unpopular Democratic president since Jimmy Carter. And I think, you know, you and I have talked enough. Well, we've had two who served eight-year terms, one of whom was impeached, another of whom was in the middle of the worst financial recession since the Great Depression. You know, they went through difficult times. You know, Bill Clinton went through Somalia and Black Hawk Down. Barack Obama had his own issues. But 40 years is a lot of history in modern American politics, and I was going to say you and I may disagree a little bit on politics, but having an unpopular president domestically who is inherently domestically weak without strong public support is not a good thing during a foreign policy crisis. Politics stops at the water's edge. There's some people who don't believe that. I still do. And I think you're going to see, and we're already seeing, Republicans tone down the criticism and take on a more somber tone. And you think about it, John. Yesterday, the President of the United States was asked by the White House press corps, is there going to be nuclear war, Mr. President? I've covered the White House a long time. I was at lunch with a bunch of guys who have covered the White House longer than my combined age. None of them remember a president ever being asked that question. These are serious times. Tonight is a moment for the president.
If politics stops at the water's edge, I don't need to get into this with you, but I don't think that the Republicans have necessarily towed that line very well. And if they're toning it down a little now, you say, the war's not even a week old. I was kind of shocked and certainly disappointed at the previous president's comments, but also how little pushback he got from the rest of the Republican Party. I don't think they're necessarily doing their part of that deal.
Well, there's no question the former president isn't helping things on this. So I can't speak to that. And you make a great point. There's still a huge part of the Republican Party that is beholden to Trump. And I can flip this around a little bit and say that one of the reasons Vladimir Putin didn't invade Ukraine during President Trump's time is he wasn't sure what President Trump was going to do. The U.S. military killed 300 of Putin's top mercenaries, the Wagner group that he's now sent into Ukraine to kill President Zelensky. President Trump ordered the killing of 300 of them in Syria, and that sent a message to Vladimir Putin that the U.S. had red lines. And clearly now, President Biden is being tested by Vladimir Putin in the same way. you may not have seen it before the invasion, but as you watch, and as I've interviewed a number of Republicans who've been very critical of President Biden in the past, there is a newfound sobriety, I think, to the times that we are in. What's interesting in there's a portion of America who's unsure about this, and I say that because part of our poll showed a 13-point swing between people who said they voted for President Biden in last year's election, or 2 years now ago, election, the 2020 election, and who would vote for him today against President Trump. Today, President Trump wins a head-to-head matchup. He was never ahead in the run-up to the 2020 election, ever. So President Biden needs to talk to those people. He may not get back to people who voted for President Trump, but he needs to figure out how to get back to
the people that are in play. And one other question, we got to go now, Leland, but NewsNationNow.com, NewsNationNow.com, you can find the survey results. But when asked about what should be the U.S. policy on COVID, it's interesting to me that of the five responses, all of them got a lot of votes, which I think underscores how difficult it is for a school superintendent, a mayor, a governor, or a president.
Yeah.
To lead this country, because you get about 20% of people saying one thing and everybody else checking off all the other boxes. It is a difficult time to be president. So is the president's speech tonight up to the task? I got to go, Leland, but are you on with Lisa later this afternoon?
I'm sure we will be. And then on all night, starting special coverage at 6 p.m. Chicago time. Then the speech analysis afterwards, George Will, Mike Allen, and our team of reporters, including from Ukraine.
Leland Vittard, On Balance, News Nation. Nice to talk to you, Leland. Thanks for your time today.
Talk to you soon.